Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Council has unanimously passed an advocacy-based motion concerning the future of Kingston Penitentiary, urging the federal government to reconsider listing the historic site as inventory of properties designated for housing development. In addition to striking the site from the list, the motion also requests that the federal government discuss a long-term lease for the city or a transfer of the property to Parks Canada, ensuring that the property remains a heritage site under federal stewardship. Kingston Penitentiary is Canada's oldest penitentiary, a major economic and heritage asset for the city. Kingston Pen has become a major tourist attraction, contributing to the local economy through guided tours, film productions, concerts, and other events held at the site. Tourism Kingston CEO Megan Knott spoke before council calling Kingston Pen an anchor attraction in Kingston's $500 million tourism industry. When asked to rank the penitentiary amongst Kingston's tourism sites, Knott had the following response.
Without the opportunity to experience Kingston Penitentiary from a leisure perspective or from a sales and business sector, it really would be catastrophic to the tourism community. If I was to rank all attractions across our community and looked at number of visitors and looked at repeat visitors and looked at the EI on those visitations, I would strongly probably come back to you and say the St. Lawrence Parks Commission, who couldn't be here tonight, would suggest to you that their financials would show you that it is the number one attraction ahead of Fort Henry, for example.
Kingston Pen Tour saw approximately 89,000 visitors in 2024. According to the St. Lawrence Parks Commission, tours and other events generated nearly $12 million in economic impact in 2024 alone. Councillor Don Amos brought the motion before council.
This is not appropriate. This is not an appropriate spot to be putting housing. This is an economic engine. It is the number one tourism economic engine for our city. Not appropriate to put housing in there. It is a heritage site.
Councillor Brandon Tozo offered hearty support of the motion.
I was one of the initial people who had a tour when the site was first opened to the public. And I remember walking into Kingston Penitentiary and like it had just been like vacated and just feeling that sense of mystery and terror and the smell of it. Like people had just been living there and just this sense of like, it was awesome. And horrifying at the same time, like just that feeling of emotions when you step into something old and unique as part of our history. And I just thought like this is something everybody in Canada and in North America needs to experience. This is the Alcatraz of the North. And the fact that this could be taken away by the federal government at the stroke of a pen is so infuriating. We can't lose this. This is such a valuable piece of Kingston history and of Canadian history.
Councillor Wendy Stevens stressed the importance of the second portion of the motion, which puts forward other federally owned land in Kingston which could be used for housing.
I'm just looking back at the motion. Staff have identified at least 340 hectares. So this is sort of in addition to leave the pen alone, please have another look at the other properties that are available, because do we want to build housing on this? Yes, we do. This just isn't the right place for it.
Councillor Amos stated that Kingston MP Mark Gerritsen has submitted a letter to the federal government and is actively working towards having the site removed from the list. At their last meeting, council voted unanimously to formally withdraw the city's support for Via Rail and the federal government's recently announced high-speed rail project. In 2017, Via Rail asked communities along the Quebec-Windsor corridor for their endorsement of Via's proposed high-frequency rail project. According to the motion and Mayor Brian Patterson's recount of the events before council, the city supported Via's HFR project with the promise that although Kingston would not be a stop on the proposed line, it would become a Via Rail regional hub in eastern Ontario with increased service and more trains starting and ending in Kingston.
The federal government announced in February that instead of the HFR project, they are going full steam ahead with a high-speed rail project called Alto, with a route that bypasses Kingston and no commitment to a regional hub in Kingston. Mayor Patterson, who put forward the motion to withdraw support from the project, expressed his frustration at the change in direction.
The high-speed rail project that was announced just the other week is very different from the project that was initially shopped around by Via Rail a number of years ago. No promise, no commitment whatsoever to a rail hub in Kingston. In fact, when I raised it with Via Rail, they were surprised. They had no idea. They said, that's an interesting idea. We suppose that we can talk about it internally. As though the commitments and conversations that they had made to Kingston 8 years ago had never happened. I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. At the end of the day, right, rail service should be improved not only for people that live in Toronto or Ottawa or other stops along the high-speed rail line, but what about the million-plus people that live in between? Kingston and Belleville and Brockville and Port Hope and Cornwall. What happens to them? So Via Rail had it right 8 years ago. Invest in a plan that would make everybody better off. That's not what we have right now, and it's time for them to fix that.
According to the motion, Kingston is home to one of the top five busiest Via stations in the country. Councillors Don Amos and Connie Glenn shared their support for the motion as well as their own frustrations.
It shouldn't be an adventure when you hop on your train in Kingston and your fingers are crossed, hoping that you get to your destination within a reasonable time frame.
When I moved to Kingston 9 years ago, a huge piece of that was that from a business perspective, I could get to Toronto really easy. I could get to Ottawa easy. I could get to Montreal easy. It's not so easy. So for every person who's trying to do the right thing for the environment by not driving, for everybody who's trying to live here because they love it, but yeah, they might have some business interests and work that they need to accomplish there, it's a real problem. So I think Via needs to step up to the plate.
Councillor Glenn also brought up the impact unreliable service is having on the city across multiple sectors.
One of the things that Queens has identified as a deterrent to having students come here is the fact that they don't find it easy to get here. They don't find it easy to get home for a visit. So they'd rather pick someplace else because we're seen as being remote. So we got a late letter in from Queens talking about those issues. And it doesn't just impact their ability to get students. It also impacts the ability to get staff and faculty. One of the things that's really sort of become more common in the university sector, of course, if you've got, you know, a power couple, two profs, they might not work at the same university. So they've got to pick some place to live. And that means at least one of them's traveling. Well, they don't want to be traveling here because it's not easy to get here. So it's impacting multiple sectors, business, education. All of those things right now are under a lot of stress. And Via is just sort of choosing to ignore that we're one of the largest hubs or possible hubs for transportation.
Along with the formal withdrawal of support for the project, the city will also be working on advocacy efforts with other cities along the Quebec-Windsor corridor that will be negatively impacted by the change of direction. The city has also requested representatives from Via Rail Canada appear before council to explain the change in their proposal and next steps for increased rail service in Kingston. When asked for comment, Via stated that Via Rail is no longer the lead on the project, and that, quote, Via Rail's role is now to provide advice on the technical and operational aspects of existing passenger railway services. They also stated that, quote, current and planned Via Rail services will not be impacted by this high-speed train project, and opportunities to improve services on these routes to better address local needs will be further explored during the six-year development phase of the Alto project. The federal government did not respond to CFRC's requests for comment. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, folks. I'm Abias from CFRC, and you're listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. Tonight, we are talking about Open Secret, the third edition, a film series that explores experimental cinema and critical conversations. The latest screening of this film takes place on Saturday, March 15th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the screening room at 120 Princess Street. Curating the series is Nasreen Himada, Associate Curator of Academic Outreach and Community Engagement. Her work focuses on experimental film and its intersection with politics and contemporary art. I'm excited to have Nasreen with us in studio today as we discuss the vision behind Open Secret. Hello, Ms. Nasreen. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. So let's talk about Open Secret. What is the vision behind this series and what inspired this season's programming?
This is the third edition, which means it's in its third season. It began 2 years ago in January 2023 as a series that is very much interested in cinema's capacity to initiate gatherings. So for me, it's really important to think about what cinema, what film can do to bring people together. And I think for me as a curator, I started as a film programmer, and I really feel deeply that film, especially experimental documentary film, can really help us, support us in thinking and feeling differently about the world. And so this particular series, Open Secret, as you mentioned, really takes its title from one of my favorite poets, Fred Moulton, who wrote, "Poetry investigates new ways for people to get together and do stuff in the open, in secret." And for me, I feel like cinema's capacity also conditions spaces for gathering that also plays with this relationship between opacity and transparency. So when we watch a film, we don't always have to understand what it's doing, but we know we're feeling something.
Right. I hear this year's screening is guest curated by Ine Prakash. So can you tell our audience how did this collaboration come about and what makes his perspective valuable to the series?
Yeah, so Ine Prakash is also a film programmer and curator, and he started this annual festival in New York City called Prismatic Ground that centers experimental documentary and avant-garde film. He started this, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now. So this year in May, it will be the fifth year that it's on. I was an immediate fan of this festival. When it first launched, it was the first year of the pandemic, so everything was online, and he made it accessible for everybody to watch. I watched almost every program he had on there that first year, and then I think the second year was hybrid, some were online, some was in person, and I couldn't make it to New York City then. But last year I got to go for the first time. I bought a festival pass and I met Ine, and it feels like I have a kinship with him because of our love for experimental film. I have to say, I think Prismatic Ground was one of the first film festivals to really think very, clearly and directly about what it was going to do post October 7th and in solidarity with Palestine. So this was something else that I also feel very inspired by.
Right.
Open Secret has always, from its initiating thought, was very much interested in thinking about diaspora and that concept and how it has changed over time. So for me, it was especially in regard to always be thinking with and be in relation with for those of us who have been dispossessed from our lands. So this is really the foundational framework of Open Secret. And I found with Prismatic Ground, it had a similar initiative last year as well.
Right. So speaking of experimental films in general, how do you think they play a role in reshaping narrative around displacement and homeland?
For me, I create these events, these series, in order to have conversations around this exact same question you're asking, right? It's like, how does film connect us to these urgencies? Right? What are images, what does an image do? especially in the context of how we're living in a space-time where we're oversaturated with images.
Right.
Right? So how do we not take them for granted? And my belief is that experimental filmmakers and artists are the gateway to that, right? They're the ones who are going to show us something we've never seen before and then put us in a situation where we're feeling things we've never felt before. I just happened upon this quote the other day when I was reading Ital Adnan, who is a really incredible poet and painter who's no longer with us. And this year would have been her 100th birthday. And she wrote something very, very long time ago, many, many, many years ago, this incredible poem called Shebu. And in it, she has this line, "Palestine is a land planted by eyes refusing to close." And so I really want to think about film and experimentation and art in how it might take up this notion of witnessing. What does it mean to be a witness right now?
Right. That's a wonderful way to put it. If any of our audience wants to attend the screening, how can they do it? Do they have to purchase any tickets to the show?
So this event is free. There are no tickets. And you can just show up at the screening room, which is one of my favorite places in Kingston. We know it to be the independent cinema in downtown. But it would be great if people could register, just so we know who was interested in this program. And so the way to do that is to go on Agnes's website and click on the event on Open Secret and register there online. But you can also just show up.
Amazing. That actually brings us to the very end of our segment. Thank you, Nasreen. Thanks for joining us in studio today.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap. We were in conversation with Ms. Nasreen Himada. She is the curator of the series Open Secret. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you were listening to our segment Campus Corner.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, March 12th, daytime high of 2 degrees, so a little bit cooler, but it will be sunny, dropping down to just minus 2 overnight. Thursday, March 13th, warmest day of the year thus far, daytime high of 12 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 4 overnight. Friday, March 14th, a beautiful start to the weekend, a mix of sun and cloud, but a daytime high of 14 degrees, getting cut in half, dropping to 7 overnight. Saturday, March 15th, not quite as nice of a day. We are going to see rain, but a daytime high of 11 degrees, dropping down to about 5 overnight. Sunday, March 16th, 75% chance of precipitation, but we will see a daytime high of 12 degrees, getting cut in half, dropping down to 6 overnight. Moving into the start of next week, Monday, March 17th, cooling off a little bit, daytime high of 6 degrees with cloudy conditions. And then Tuesday, March 18th, we'll see a daytime high of 11 degrees and it will be cloudy. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, March 10th, 2025. Reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston as of March 1st. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. A complete list of roads with restrictions can be found in the Traffic Bylaw section of the City of Kingston website. Here are the relevant road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Queen Street, Division 2 Barrie is closed until March 14th for a contractor to cap a water service at 283 Queen Street. A reminder that there is still a parking disruption ongoing at the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure as the restoration project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is set to conclude in July 2025. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendars. Starting with events, on Wednesday, One-Eyed Jats will be hosting board game night starting at 7. Folks can head on down to Musiki, which is hosting its weekly life drawing event. Don't forget to bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing. Tiernanod will be hosting a free comedy night with Logan Brown from 9 to 12 p.m. And also on Wednesday, Daft Brewing and Something in the Water will host their weekly trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. After that, on Thursday, Daft will be hosting Drag Bingo from 7:30 to 10 p.m. The Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, the Kingston Frontenacs will be playing the Peterborough Pete's with their game starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online. The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. On Saturday, Queen's PhD student Parisa Nazari will be giving a free talk on interstellar dust and star formation at 7:30 p.m. in Queen's campus's Ellis Hall. The event, open to all ages, includes a tour of the Queen's Observatory and telescope viewing, weather permitting. The Kingston Public Market also runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with this week's concert calendar. On Wednesday, Whiskey Smoke will be playing at the Buckle starting at 7:30. Hotel Wolf Island is hosting its open mic night with host Mike Rapkins from 8:30 to 11:30. And starting at 8 p.m., Kingston singer-songwriter Frank Ryan will be playing at Musiki. On Thursday, the Buckle will be hosting Trailer Swift Band at a free gig from 8 to 11 p.m. The club at the RCHA will be hosting Clem Chesterfield's Country Open Mic starting at 7 p.m. Also, Musiki will be hosting five Kingston musicians as part of their Family Matters show for a free night of hip-hop from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. And also on Thursday, two groups, Amirilius and The Permits, will be playing at the Toucan starting at 9:30. Then on Friday, two bands, Rocket Surgery and the Wild Rose Orchestra, will be playing a show at the Broom Factory with doors opening at 7:30 and tickets costing around $20. The Kingston Blues Society will be presenting Angelica Jones at 8 p.m. with tickets costing $15 at the club at the RCHA. Also on Friday, Mark McLaughlin will be playing alongside his four-piece band, Good Fortune, from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Grad Club. Tickets for this event are going for around $12. The Clay Pigeons, Jinx, and Ducks in the Attic will also be playing Friday night at the Mansion. On Saturday, two Ontario-based musicians, Graven and Melissa Payne, will be playing at the Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 11. Tickets are currently available for $15 and will be available for $20 at the door. Also on Saturday, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra will be performing at the Isabel from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are currently costing between $15 and $72. To celebrate St. Patrick's Day, the Celtic Kitchen Party will be playing at the Grand Theater starting at 7:30. Tickets are available online for around $42. And on Sunday, Savannah Shea will be performing at Musiki starting at 4:30. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.